You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Episode of Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Celicia Thomas, and you guys, like, already it's been a morning, and my guest, who I just met, by the way, she's a star. She's so patient and so kind because she has watched me be a mess for my first impression with her. You guys, I cannot wait to welcome you to this wonderful performer. She was OBC in Spring Awakening. I got to see her be OBC in Tootsie and SpongeBob. She's been in everything, off Broadway, regional. She had a recurring role in The Good Fight. You guys, please help me welcome Tony nominee Lily Cooper.
Hi. You have not been a mess at all. By the way.
Girl, I literally was like, where's the record button? How are
Look,
you
this,
today?
Look, this has been a technological learning curve this past year. We're all trying to figure it out.
I mean, but honestly, though.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Where are you in the world? How are you today?
I'm okay. I'm good. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm a little sleepy, but other than that, I'm feeling good. I'm in Harlem in New York. I live with my husband and my dogs. And, you know, we've pretty much been holed up here for the whole year. But I just actually got back from Canada because I was shooting a TV show out there. So I got to travel a little bit, leave the country, which was really strange. I was out of the country during the inauguration, which was like very surreal. Super interesting. So I got to kind of like get the outsider's perspective, which is exactly what you would expect. it was a fun experience, and I'm happy to be back. Happy to be back in New York.
Welcome back. I just left New York, and so I'm in California right now. I'm like already missing it.
But I'm so jealous. Is the weather nice?
I mean, well, today's a little overcasty, but I mean, it's like 65 degrees.
Yeah, exactly. It was like 19 degrees here the other day.
See, not the business. I'm like, I'm trying to work out. My gym is closed. There's ice on the ground. Let me go to my family for a little bit. Lily, I'm so honored to have you on here today. And I'm so excited to get to meet you because I've just seen you from the balconies. And you're such a star. And I'm so excited to talk to you. One of the many reasons why I want to talk to you is I had Brittany Coleman on my show, and she mentioned you and your wig prep while you were in Tootsie together.
Yeah, totally. We had an interesting like wig and hair journey together during Tootsie. So we really bonded during that show. I love Brittany. I love her so much.
Me too. Can I hear it from you? She mentioned there was some water in there and like, do you
well,
wet
you know,
your hair every time you get into wig prep?
My wig prep was kind of crazy because I had to put two of my microphones in my wig. I don't know if Brittany had to do that, but I had to fit two microphones in my wig, and my wig wasn't made for my head. So it was, you know, purchased, and, you know, it was a nice fancy wig, but it didn't quite fit my head. So I had like huge gaps of space in between my scalp and my and my wig a lot of the times because of my microphone. So that was like one of the issues that I had. But the interesting thing about the ensemble members is like they were changing so often and so much and had so many wigs. And there were a lot of misses that were discarded pretty quickly because of how, you know, they just didn't work. And Brittany kind of got the brunt of that, I think. So she had quite a journey.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm like, what do you mean? Like what misses? Can I ask you, like, what is your actual wig prep?
Oh yeah.
With your natural hair.
Yeah. So my wig prep is pretty easy. I just do pin curls. And you know, pin curls and a hairnet, which isn't too bad, but I did get my hair braided for, like around Tony season. And I didn't want to take my braids out cause they were gorgeous. And I just wanted to live my life in my braids. So I had to like go to the hair department and be like, just so you know, I'm going to change my hair. Like I didn't really give them the option to like say no to me. Cause I was like, this is my life that I'm living and I'm going to adjust my hair prep for my braids. And what I did was I kind of just like wrapped my braids around my head and it totally worked. Like it was fine. It adjusted like the spacing a little bit, but normally I just do pin curls. But with braids, I had to adjust a little bit, but it ended up working pretty okay.
I love that, especially hearing you say, you know, I didn't even give them the option because a lot of times it's like, even my friend the other day was like, I'm going in for an audition and my agent wants me to do my hair like it's in my headshot, but my hair's in braids right now. What do I do? And I feel like this comes up a lot because we change our hair a lot. We can
all the time.
We can be all the time. It's so versatile. Yeah. Have you always had that confidence to like be able to advocate for yourself?
You know, I think I had to learn it at a pretty young age. I made my Broadway debut when I was really young. I was on Broadway when I was 16. So I was a sophomore in high school and, you know, like an insecure little teenager. And I remember having to have like really difficult conversations when I was a 16-year-old and I had to have them. And so I was kind of like forced into the awkwardness of standing up for myself and being, you know, outspoken enough to state my opinion. Like I remember I had like the first mock-up of the sketch of like my costume and my hair, in Spring Awakening, I had cornrows and I had like these like little kind of like nubby cornrows. And I was the only black person in that show, let alone the only person of color in that show. And it just felt very kind of stereotypical and like wrong. And as a 16-year-old, I had to like go up to the director and be like, hey, so this is how I feel about this representation of the only black girl in this show. Like, what can we do about this? And it was a really crazy kind of position to be thrown into at such a young age. But I think because of that, yeah, I've developed the confidence and been able to have those awkward conversations, you know?
That's amazing. And not a lot of people can, I would not have been able to do that. Even after having this podcast, I'm like trying to find, okay, how are these people getting confidence to like, because it's one thing to think about what I would say, but a lot of times when you're in the moment, it's like, oh gosh, I really don't want to ruffle feathers. It can be really hard when it's actually time to stand up for yourself in a kind way.
Yeah.
And I've noticed like your other characters, at least the ones that I've gotten to see, like they have curly hair. You, as Sandy in SpongeBob, you had like an afro.
Yeah, that was pretty epic.
Did you have any say in that? Or was that, or were they like, you're going to have an afro?
Yeah, that was part of the design. That was David Zinn, the brilliant David Zinn, who was our costume designer, had the concept of that. Because it kind of represented the astronaut helmet. And I just loved it so much when I first saw that. And I was like, yes, this is just so iconic. And I just could like live in it and totally develop my character like around this sort of like visual of her. And it was so exciting to be able to do that. I really, really loved having that wig. That was such an awesome wig. I'd never really worn my hair like that before. So that was really, really fun. And yeah, for the most part, I've been able to have, I've worn my natural hair in a lot of shows. I have wigs that are like based after my hair a lot of times. And the fact is like, you know, a lot of wig artists are remarkable artists and are truly fantastic at what they do. But as our history has shown, we just haven't had as much representation with people of color on stage. And so some people don't really know how to work with black hair. And it becomes very obvious to us. And so we have to kind of become our own spokespeople, and we have to kind of become the people that step up and like talk about it, because if we don't, then it's never going to be talked about and it's going to just be ignored forever. And, you know, like I've talked to several directors in my career about wigs and about hair, which is like something that you never think that you have to do, but it has come up several times, and you just have to like approach it in a very kind of, you know, adult, calm way and help the person understand your perspective. That's how I try to look at it, as opposed to being like going in there and being like, this is wrong, how do you fix this? Going in there and being like, this is how I feel about this situation, and I think it could be helped by ABC. And those are the kind of conversations that I've had with directors before, where like I've literally come to the plate with hair designers that I love and know, and I'm like, well, this person is available and could come in and help. And that's happened before. So like doing your own research is great too. Having a list of the people that you love who know you and know your hair and know how to use it it's a fabulous resource.
What a great tip and a great idea. We'll be right back right after the break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
When you are in a show, do you prefer to be wigged or do you prefer your own curls?
I absolutely prefer to be wigged, because I think like keeping curls the same exact way day after day is impossible. Just watch Cinderella. And I was doing this TV show and I would wake up straight up like an hour before I really had to, because like I had to like prep my own hair. Like a lot of times I had to get it fully wet and I had to do my own, you know, deep conditioning treatment or whatever to allow it to look the same every day. And like that adds hours of time to your workday and you're not getting paid for that. Like that's right. A lot of work.
Okay.
They're not scheduling that in to hair, you know, times for us.
When you do that though, when you are using your own hair, do you put that into your contract, like the budget, like to pay for your upkeep, or is that coming out of your pocket?
I haven't really had. Yeah. Oh my God. It's so expensive. I've been lucky enough that like this last project that I worked on, I had an incredible hair designer who was so well-versed in textured hair, and she threw a bunch of products at me and like honestly actually helped me figure out how to come to work on a day-to-day basis with the same hair. And she was fierce. I loved her so much. And so I felt really lucky in that case, because a lot of times I've been on TV shows where like they don't know what the hell they're doing with my hair and I just kind of have to do it myself. And no, the answer is no. I haven't ever actually put that in my contract for television, but it's a really good idea.
I mean, should. Our hair is expensive for upkeep, especially if you're having to wear it multiple times. And like you said, if you want it to look the same, that takes a lot of time. And so can I ask you about your process? Because I have never, and not to say it's not happened, but I've never seen you or seen a photo with not your beautiful curls. Your curls are so beautiful, Lily. I'm like,
thank you.
I've only seen you with your curls. And as somebody who's grown up, who like, I was kind of shown and taught that like curls are bad. If I have my curls out, that is not a good thing. And so I've had to learn how to like embrace it and to feel like, no, this is okay. And this is me. And I've only seen you be confident and beautiful in your curls. Where does that come from? Have you always loved your curls?
Yeah. Oh, great question. I mean, that's kind of like a multifaceted answer, I think, because so I'm biracial. My mom is white and my dad is black. And I was mainly raised by my mother, by my white mother, who, you know, tried her darndest, but like really didn't know much about my hair and wanted so badly for me to, you know, to like love my hair and embrace it. But I really didn't until I was like a grown adult. But I had never gotten treatments. I had never gotten it straightened. I had never gotten it braided. I had never gotten it blown out, like anything like that when I was younger. So I didn't know any other way to wear it. Like I literally just never had those experiences. I never got extensions or braids or anything. So like that was part of why all I really could do was wear my natural curls. And I had to learn to love them over time. And I gotta say, it really wasn't until like the last year or so that I have like fully embraced my hair and learned to just adore it and love it so much. I swear to God.
Just the last year?
Like truly the last year of my life that I have really been able to embrace my hair in every way. And that has a lot to do with my husband, because he has always been like a huge advocate for me to like embrace my culture and who I am and represent me as a black woman. And that's why I love and adore that man so much. And also getting to an age where I'm like, this is who I am. I'm not going to like pretend to be anybody else. I'm not going to hide myself. Like, this is who I am now. I've done pretty good so far. Like, I've worked pretty steadily, you know, I'm doing okay. I'm getting by. Like, I don't need to pretend to be anybody else. So yeah, like it's a journey. It takes a while. It takes a really long time for you to really learn to love your own hair. And I think I'm finally there. 30 years in. Isn't that insane? Yeah.
That is insane. And you definitely had me fooled, because it just looks like you've always embraced it. But like you said, you're like, I didn't know any other way to wear it. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it's like you kind of logged your 10,000 hours early on in the game. You're like, this is what it is with my curls. And so now it's like you're an adult and you can even embrace it even more. All right. So along with that, even though you've only always worn your hair curly, like you know what to do. But I feel like it's not possible for every day to be a good hair day with Girl. Like our curls are so unpredictable.
Yeah.
So Lily, when you need to have a bomb hair day with no surprises, what's that process?
That process depends on when in the day I need to have a bomb hairdo, right? Say I have like a noon audition and I need to look fierce and I need to have my curls popping. I need to wake up like, you know, 5 hours before that at least or something to get my hair fully soaked, fully conditioned, and fully like, you know, what's it called? Just like products all up in there. And I'm not a lover of the diffuser. I totally use it, but I'm really impatient and I just really hate standing there waiting for a diffuser to dry my hair. So I often just air dry my hair, which takes a really long time. It takes several hours. But
that's longer. ever.
Oh, no, I know. But I can do other things while I do it. That's the point. It's like, I can put my makeup on. Okay. I can eat breakfast. Okay. I can walk my dogs. Like, I can go out into life and, like, allow the fresh air to run through my my curls. So that's kind of what I do. It's probably totally counterintuitive and silly, but that's what I do. And, you know, I need to, like, the amount of product that I use is insanity. I usually use a leave-in conditioner, and then I use like a curl cream when my hair is still like soaking wet. And then I do the scrunch, and I kind of like dry it off with a little microfiber towel or a t-shirt. And then a few hours later, it's like dry and looking cute. And I have still not mastered the day two and three curls because my satin bonnet.
I was just about to ask you.
My satin bonnet is not doing it right for me. I think I just need a new brand or something. Because I'm waking up like my curls are like dry and just kind of not happy in the morning. So I need to figure out a better
solution. So you don't trust day two or three curls ever if you need like bigger hair?
Sometimes I do. It kind of depends on the day. Depends on the humidity. You know what I mean? Do you know what I've really embraced recently, though, that I'm loving is setting my curls and then day two, brushing them out. So like it's like frizzy and big, but still super wavy and cute. And it's kind of like a look. It's kind of a new look that I'm trying that I'm really loving.
I am here for that. Also, you mentioned a couple products. Do you have any staples or do you change it up all the time? If you have some staples.
I change it up all the time. I just bought Tracee Ellis Ross's pattern. And I really have, I'm liking her curl cream and her leave-in conditioner. And I just started an Olaplex treatment, which I've never done before. And it's life-changing. It's so good.
Why?
Because it like that? Basically it helps like rebond your hair fibers. So like if you're so sometimes my curls decide to curl in one direction and then in the other direction, you know, they're just like haywire and don't know what they're doing. And the Olaplex treatment really kind of tells your hair like, listen, this is what you're supposed to do. So do it this way. And after that, it's kind of like a deep conditioner treatment, but I actually sleep in it and then wash it out the next morning.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's fierce. And then you wash it out and you, you know, condition and everything. And then it just feels like totally refreshed curls. It's fabulous.
Also, you mentioned your hair bonnet is like not doing the business. Like, is it satin lines?
It is.
What the heck?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. It's really strange. It like doesn't work for me. I think because like I pull my hair up into a pineapple right at the top of my head and then put my satin bonnet on. And then the issue that I have is that the back of my hair often pulls a little too straight, you know, because it's in a pineapple.
Yes.
So that's really the main issue that I have with the satin
bonnet. You know what? I was actually going through that not long ago and I saw one of my friends who I look up to, like her curls. Sometimes she leaves it out. And she did that because she just cut her hair and it was like too short, but I thought she was doing that so that it wouldn't stretch in the pineapple.
Oh.
And so I tried it and it kind of helps.
Yes. Okay.
Just like an idea.
I'm gonna try that. I love that idea.
We're going to cut for a short ad break. Question. How was it going on for Elphaba?
Amazing. It was really cool. I got my own wigs. It was the first time that I've had a straight hair wig. And it looks pretty fierce. I loved it. It was amazing. It's like beautiful, amazing, thick black hair that like goes down to your waist.
Work.
It's gorgeous. Yeah, it's fabulous. I mean, I loved going on for Elphaba. I played it in three different countries. And, you know, it's one of the... not one of the, probably the hardest role I've ever played and hopefully will ever play.
Right.
You don't just wake up and do that one
day. We already know.
So yeah, no, I loved it. You know, it's really interesting being one of five black women who have ever played that role.
That's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's strange.
Did you feel like when you got the call, cause that was a long time ago, like you did that first, right? Like not.
I did it.
Was that one of your?
No,
first?
I did it. Well, I mean, several years ago, I did it in like 2003 is when I started it, and then or no, sorry, no, wow. Not 2003, 2013. And then, different time, 2013 to 2015 ish was when I did it.
Did you ever feel like this is a big
okay?
Deal.
Yes,
like for Black
100%. There is this fabulous girl that I know who is an amazing performer, and she lives in. I want to say Iowa. I think it's Iowa or Indiana, something with an I, but it's like literally in the middle of the country. And her father, found out that I was going on because I was the standby on Broadway and I was going on in Wicked and she had never seen a Black Alphabet. I don't think she had ever seen Wicked before. And they drove from their town to New York to see me go on as Elphaba so that this amazing young artist could see someone who looked like her on stage play this role. How crazy is that? How insane is that?
Really, that's real.
Yeah.
That's so real though.
Yeah, shout out to Zoella. Like, she's
we
amazing.
All know there's not...
Zoella.
Zoella. Like, that's a... That is a thing. And we all know there's not been that many. Like, I just talked to Brittany Johnson the other day. Like that's a big deal. Black Glinda, Black Elphaba. Like,
yeah.
these are big deals to us in the community and people outside of the community, too. I, like, when I heard those announcements of, like, oh, my gosh, there's going to be a Black Elphaba. Oh, Black Glinda. I thought it was just me. And then when I heard my friends, like, talking about it across the country, I'm like, wait, you guys care about this,
yeah.
too? They're like... Yes. Huge. Yes. By the way, you briefly mentioned like Cinderella, Brandy Cinderella. Why did that take so long to stream?
I know, right? Such a shame.
It was
because God, classic. Okay. I was you know, Instagram storying about it the other day when I was watching it, and I just so vividly remember having the VHS tape of it. Do you remember the VHS tapes that were like kind of cushy and plush?
Oh, very vaguely.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I had one of those. Like, they were like really big VHS covers and they were kind of like plushy.
Yes.
And I just so vividly remember having that. And I wore that out. Oh, I wore it out.
It's
so good.
I feel like for our generation, it has always been a classic and a staple. And I'm so upset that it has been so hard to find through the decades. Like, it... This is.
I know. Why wasn't it available before? It actually doesn't make any sense.
Literally. And Whitney. Whitney, how has this not been?
I love how iconic Whitney is in that. And I was watching it with my friend the other day and she was like, how many days do you think Whitney shot on this movie? Like 2 days, like a day and a half. I was like, I know, it's incredible. She's in like two scenes, but she's so iconic in it. She's amazing.
Iconic. It's like got the biggest cult following and I'm like, I'm just mad that we're finally getting our hands
I know.
On it.
Like, so I'm hoping like the new generation of kids can watch this and will it'll be iconic for them too.
Right. Okay, before I let you go, I want to ask just a little bit about like your confidence journey because you have been playing these starring roles like out the gate. And when I see you on stage, it's just like, yeah, I live here. Like this is just what you do. Have you always been this confident superhuman?
Hell no. The short answer is
I don't believe it.
No. No, I think, you know, the funny thing is so many people would describe me as being so confident my entire life. And my Lord, was that not at all true? I think that it's actually just like, kind of a coping mechanism. Like I kind of just like put off this air of confidence so that I can feel confident, even though on the inside I'm like, I'm inferior and I'm not good and I'm not talented and everybody's going to find out my secrets. I'm, you know, I totally have imposter syndrome. Like absolutely. I, everywhere I go, I have imposter syndrome. But at the same time, you know, after...
Even after the Tony Awards.
After the Tony... Yeah, of course, after the Tony Awards. I was sitting two rows behind Audra, and I'm like, I don't deserve to be here. What's going on? This is insane. Until the moment where you're like, wait a minute. No, no, no. Rewind. Let's actually look at all of the things that you've done in your career and be proud of them and appreciate them and understand your worth. And that's something my parents have like so passionately instilled in me my entire life. And, you know, having that support system and getting to a place in your career where you feel like confident about it. And that's the thing about the industry is like, you can have a wonderful year. You can get nominated for a Tony Award and then a pandemic happens and you don't work again for a year. So like, it's so weird. It's so up and down. There are some days where I'm like, I am the bomb. Do people even know who I am? I am. Do you know who I think I am? And then there's some days where I'm like, I'm never going to work again. That's just a fact. And, you know, I think we all face it. We all absolutely face it. I would be totally lying if I said I was confident every day of the year. No, absolutely not. I'm still working on it, just like I am with my hair, you know? I think it's a lifelong journey.
Wow. I'm like, can we talk about that starting point, though? Because, like...
Yeah. When does it start?
Right. Yeah, where do you start?
I don't know. I don't know.
And also, by the way, your look at the Tonys with the braid. Like the... Oh. How did you come up with that? How did you decide that you wanted to go?
My dear friend Rob and I figured it out together. We met during Wicked. He did my hair in Wicked. And he also does makeup. He's incredible.
Rob who?
Rob Harmon. He's the best. Love him. Adore him. And we kind of like figured it out together. We just kind of like brainstormed a few ideas. I knew I kind of wanted like a big like front piece. And I thought like extra hair. He was like, I'm just going to buy so much hair. I'm like, amazing. Yeah. Like down to the floor, like the most hair possible. And we just like figured out this look together. Oh, it was so fun. The day of the Tonys was great. He came over at like 11 a.m. We just like kiki did my hair and makeup. He braided my hair. I like laid my head in his lap for hours. It was awesome. It was so cool. Yeah.
I can't wait till we can go back to life.
I know, me too.
Get dressed up again.
I know, I want to look cute. I want to look cute so bad.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Me too. Lily, you're amazing. Is there anything that you want to like, any hope? How are you staying hopeful these days during this?
Yeah, it's a good question. I am, it's definitely a challenge. It's definitely a challenge. I'm trying to be optimistic. I'm trying to see like the positive things in the world that are happening. And I'm trying to see like, you know, in the future, things will get better and we will be back in theaters. And this will happen at some point. Like that is fact. It definitely will. We don't know the length of time, but like it will happen. And so just knowing that is helpful. Surrounding yourself with the right people and the right energy is really important. I've been meditating a lot. That's really helpful. Keeping positivity as much as possible, because it's so easy to just get stuck in the darkness of right now. And it's just important to, you know, surround yourself with as much positivity as you can.
Amen. Y'all, Lily Cooper, everybody.
Amen.
Thank you for joining me today. And that wraps another episode of Black Hair in the Big Leagues. Y'all, I'm so honored to have such great guests on this show. And if there's somebody who you want to listen to, please drop me a note on my Instagram at Salisha Thomas or at Black Hair Podcast and slip into those DMs and let me know what you want to hear, who you want to hear from. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast, rate it, leave a review, tell a friend, follow us on Patreon at Black Hair in the Big Leagues. Y'all, I am so grateful that you are part of this community. It would not be the same without you. Shout out to Wilton Music for producing my theme song, Love COD. Shout out to Colin Tabor for editing this episode and most of these episodes. And shout out to you for listening. Y'all, my heart is so big and I feel so grateful. Thank you for listening to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas. See you next week.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.